This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, Midday Show with Andy and Randy with you here on a Trillville Thursday. Final hour for us, brought to you by the Man Cave Store. Up your Man Cave game this season at mancavestore.com. We'll get back into the big story of the day just a couple of minutes from right now. College football playoff ranking fallout continues. Obviously, big Saturday ahead. A lot to look forward to. Big announcement today in the world of college football as well, or high school football, or recruiting, or whatever you want to call it. But he's a local kid.
Yes.
One of the biggest recruits in his class. Went on ESPN earlier today, Julian Lewis, and says that he's going to Colorado.
Good for him.
He's going
man.
To play for Coach Good. Prime. Now, he had been committed to USC. And
if they didn't stink, hell, I can't get beyond these damn children, so never mind. I mean, if they didn't stink as bad, would he still have went down?
I don't know, yeah. But it would probably have helped.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, they lost another one, a D-tackle, who also looks like he's going to go to Colorado.
Who USC. USC did?
Yes.
Boy, I know. That's the thing about it.
Who's lost more big-time players, Florida State or USC?
I don't know. The ones I hear about are USC, and maybe it's because they go to Georgia.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Or they commit on national TV or whatever, but... Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Like, that's always the saving grace for these college coaches that aren't winning is, well, we've got a great recruiting class coming in. I still can recruit. I'm bringing them in. Lincoln Riley seems like he loses a big-name guy every single
week.
They
don't replace him, man.
And doesn't win games.
Yeah.
Like, they're going to have an under 500 record this season, which is crazy.
Ew.
Now, I know they've played some, I don't know, whatever. But, yeah. it's not much of a good argument for that, but I don't think they'll fire him. Not this offseason.
Somebody Lincoln Riley? No, I think he'll get another year. Because you look at some, and I hate that phrase when it comes to firing somebody, or not firing somebody, well, who are you going to get? You know what I mean?
I mean, they're USC. They should be able to get somebody else. Yeah.
You know, that's the same thing when we talk about Venerables down there in Oklahoma. You told me about his wife. I forgot his wife was sick before. Mm-hmm. So that might be a situation where he steps away.
Maybe. I don't know.
But, yeah, like, I think, you know, USC is a primetime job. It is.
It is.
It is. Just what it is. It's just like, what? Because his biggest thing, he's the quarterback whisperer. Right. His quarterback's win Heisman, mm-hmm. and he has three of them, so mm-hmm. he has a track record for mm-hmm. coaching Heisman winning trophy. But they don't get anything else. Where did Bear Alexander? He left Georgia, got it. He didn't do nothing.
Right.
I think I saw when he was back in Georgia on a visit.
Probably.
Did they forgive him?
You got to keep the relationship strong.
Did you forgive him?
It's like when you cut guys in the NFL, you know? It's like, all right, let's make sure we do this right just in case we need him in a couple weeks.
Right.
You know?
Hey, just go stay in the hotel room for about a week.
That's like
we'll bring you back.
With Julian Lewis. Like, Kirby knew he was going to go to Colorado when they had him at the Tennessee game last weekend. But we're going to be nice to him because it might not work out at Colorado.
Because the track record of a lot of these guys,
it
don't.
Exactly right.
It don't.
Exactly right. And look, like, I don't want to do that today because obviously it's really cool for him. And, like, I don't know. Think about this. Think about, like, you're a lifelong Colorado Buffaloes fan, right? Whether you grew up in Colorado, you went there, whatever.
Shout out to Miss Peggy.
Yeah, 100 years old.
That was great. Then they sung a happy birthday
awesome.
And her face. Oh, she's just freaking awesome.
Like her, for instance. Or, you know, anybody who's been a fan of that program and all that, like, you know, they've had some success for sure. Mm-hmm. Like, they've won games, and it's a good fan base and all that. It's never been like this. Like,
hell no.
This is crazy.
No, like, this Colorado.
If you're a lifelong Colorado fan, Boulder, and now this falls in your lap, that's Boulder, like the most fun thing ever.
Boulder ain't never. And I mean, they, like you said, they had Cordell.
Sure,
they had some great teams.
It's a proud
great
program.
Great team, great
proud
program. Putting that light in.
Nothing like this.
And yes, like, but that's the prime effect.
That's cool.
Yeah, like, that's awesome.
I'm just thinking about it from the standpoint
about it is, Boulder,
of.
First of all, Boulder is. The University of Colorado is one of the most, just where it sits in the mountains, yeah, one of the best, beautiful places you'll ever see.
It's a great school.
It is
a great academic school.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And
awesome
to get
place.
All get, to get Prime, mm-hmm, and all that that goes with Prime, mm-hmm, man, yeah.
And they're winning this
and
year.
They're winning.
And then you get this kid committing, and maybe if you're, you know, again, if you're a diehard fan of that program, you're worried that Deion's going to leave. You're worried he's going to go coach somewhere
His
else.
His kickstand is down, Buck.
Kickstand's down. And now we know what that means because Julian Lewis committed there. So that at least gives you the indicator that he's staying for a little while longer, doesn't it? Like, that dude's not committing there if he thinks Deion's leaving.
No.
He's talked to Deion about it.
He talked to Deion this morning.
Of course he did.
Yeah, he talked to Deion already. Yeah. Like, all right, I'm about to go on Pat's show.
That doesn't guarantee anything.
I'm about to go on Pat's show.
If Deion gets a better job, maybe he goes there, and maybe Julian goes with him. I don't know.
I think Deion, Prime, Coach Prime, set this thing up. First of all, at the press conference, how you going to ask me about that in front of my AD? So, bam, that's another $3 million added on. All right.
Oh, yeah. What's that contract negotiation look like?
No, he's getting a pay raise.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's getting a pay
now,
raise.
Now, does he do it the traditional way of pretending that he wants the whatever job?
No.
Or he just does it from the, we don't need to do all that song and dance. You see what I'm doing.
Like,
here.
He ain't going to get Kirby money. But he's going to bump.
But why? You know what I mean?
No.
Like,
no. It,
in terms of the revenue that he's bringing there.
No,
like,
I agree with that. He's not getting Kirby.
But why?
He's not getting an $8 million bump.
He should.
Yeah.
He should.
He's not getting it.
He should. Because first of all, Kirby's underpaid.
Yes.
Like, people aren't going to like that. But in terms of what he's making versus what he's doing for the university and the revenue that comes in versus what, like, other people in sports make in terms of their piece of the pie and the revenue that's coming in, mm-hmm, Kirby makes less money than he probably should, and probably a lot of top flight college, but that's just where the market has been.
Right.
That's what I would do if I was Deion. Pay me like that.
Oh no, I would ask.
Look what I've done. Yeah. Look what I've done to this economy around
it's
here.
Beautiful. And I go back, Deion, where the trophies at?
They're coming.
Yeah. Okay. Because you know they're afraid.
They're coming.
We coming.
Yeah, they're coming.
You know they're afraid.
Well, they got the Heisman Trophy.
Yeah, we coming.
Yeah. And where's everybody else's trophies?
Yeah,
at?
Man. But,
there's two coaches that have trophies.
But
right
yeah,
now.
That mean. But yeah, again, good for that young man and his family, and hopefully it works out for him. Unless they play Georgia. he might be a Bulldogs quarterback down the road.
Yeah, exactly. So you might
know.
Be rooting for him at Georgia in a couple years
know.
From now,
you
the way this
know.
Thing seems to you go. All right, Smoking Joe Patrick's going to join us in about 10 minutes. We'll talk some Falcons with him, but it's a bye week. We'll also talk some Atlanta United with him as well, as Atlanta United gets ready for a big playoff game on Sunday. The AMA coming up at 1:40, but let's kick the hour off with the big story of the day. Brought to you by QC Kinetics, non-surgical treatment for joint pain.
Bow!
It's the Georgia Bulldogs, because when you showed that graphic, Greeny, you saw Georgia's opponents all over the place, including a Texas, the number three team in the country. They only beat Texas in Texas. And look, they played Alabama. At Alabama, they lost at Ole Miss, and they beat Tennessee. When you look at everyone else, Indiana doesn't have a ranked team. They'll get one this weekend. Penn State has lost to one. This committee is not serious. There are football coaches on this committee, and there's no way those football coaches can tell me or anyone else with a straight face that they really think Indiana, Penn State, Miami, schools like that are better than Georgia. It's not possible.
Of course they can't tell you that, Paul.
No, they don't. They don't think they're better.
No, they don't, Paul.
They just think their resume is better right
now?
Is that what they think?
Nope, it can't even be the resume better. No, Paul.
They think what, then?
They can't move them down.
Oh.
They're, like you said it earlier, they're like stuck in this pole position right there.
They made the decision they made when they released the first one.
Yes.
Which is, again, why maybe they don't have to release them.
I mean,
like, we don't have to do this.
Well, they
you
are,
know?
Hey, I know why
we do it.
They are against Georgia. All right? Damn it, I said it.
There it is.
Is that what you're saying, Paul? Yes, they're against us.
Because here's the thing. Like, okay, so Paul Finebaum, obviously, right there, ESPN, arguing that point from that perspective, which, all right, fine. but – if they did do that, like if they did move down some of those teams he's saying don't deserve to be up there, then whoever the people are on those teams' behalf would be arguing the exact same thing. So my question is just this. Like if the argument is that the committee is unserious, what could they do that would be universally accepted?
Georgia needs to be in front of Texas because we beat them, Andy. Okay. It's rigged against us.
Okay.
It's, okay. Before y'all be, I'm really kidding, okay?
This is just a joke.
And I hope people realize
they do. They know. Andy, they know Randy's joke.
We have found a position of we don't know if they know. All right, we don't know if they know.
I know you're doing.
But I mean, I don't know what they do. I said it yesterday.
I will say this. I think Georgia's better than Texas.
Yes, I do. I do. Georgia's better than all those teams. But Georgia's lost two games. This team, none of these teams have lost two games. The people who have two wins that are in front of Georgia beat Georgia.
Yep. The only teams that are ranked in front of Georgia that have two losses are the two teams that beat.
Yeah. Them. Other than that, yes, I do think Georgia's better than Miami. I think
kind of tracks logically, doesn't it?
You would think.
You know what I mean?
You would think. But yeah,
that's why when the rankings came out, I didn't have any problem with it, especially because there's just so much more football to be played. Look, at the end of it, if there's a situation like there was last year where the team that we agree was the best in the country is on the outside looking in, then people will have a problem with it. You'd have to hope that in a 12-team system, that won't happen again.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it won't. I think it won't. Because I think, first of all, who even is the best team in the country right now? So say it's Oregon. Say you think Oregon's the best team in the country.
Okay.
Are they in the college football playoff no matter what? Because they have two games left before the playoff.
Yes.
They play Washington and they play the Big Ten championship game. Just say they lost both of them.
Yes. Oh, they lost both of them.
So just say they did.
I don't know.
Because they have two guaranteed games, right? They play Washington, who's not particularly good, and they'll probably beat them, but say they don't. And then they go to the Big Ten championship game and lose to either Ohio State or Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
Do they get in then?
I don't know. That's what I'm saying. I don't know how. That's the thing about it. I don't know how you can. If you judge them by. And we talked about this. Brand status. Mm-hmm. Are they really that good? Mm-hmm. Because, okay, so you're telling me they were number one. They were number one basically all season.
Yeah.
They get beat by Wisconsin. Same thing as they get beat by Wisconsin. I'm sorry. Indiana. They drop down to where? Five?
Who are we talking? Ohio State?
No, Oregon.
Oh, Oregon. Yeah, I don't know.
They got 9-5, and then
recency matters too. Like when you lose the game matters. Just ask Notre Dame. Like they lost in Northern Illinois, which is embarrassing.
It's very embarrassing.
But it was September 7th or
it's
something.
It's very, very embarrassing.
So no one can remember that far back. Like I wasn't even in my 40s then. You know, how can anyone remember that far ago? You know, and but that's what it is. Like again, ask Georgia. They did a great side by side last night of Georgia's last year versus this year, where they had the same record as Indiana. Their strength of schedule was the same. Like, very similar resume. You know where Georgia was this time last year? Not fifth.
Nope.
They were number one, like, or two, or whatever they were. They were right up top.
Yeah. No matter.
Brand bias.
I mean, it's brand bias. So when we talked about it, there's certain teams, if, say, for instance, you're in the SEC championship, if Alabama lose, if they're in the SEC championship, they lose, and they're still whatever in three, they're still probably going to get in.
They might.
Yeah, you know what I mean? I just think that.
They might. I agree. And when I went back and listened to some of what Ward Manuel said. We were having some fun with him yesterday. But he did answer the question, sort of, about what would happen to the teams that made the conference championship game. Sound like they're not going to hold it against them. Like, if you make the SEC championship game and lose that game, they're going to reward you for making the SEC championship game, not losing that
game.
You
believe what Ward say?
I do, because why even answer it? You know what I mean? They could just do the non-answer thing like they always do.
Ward. All right.
So then nothing he says.
Nothing Award says is true.
He's the spokesman for the committee.
Whatever, man. He's a puppy.
All right.
I like that guy.
I know. I think we got there on that one yesterday. Smokin' Joe Patrick's going to join us next. He's going to talk a little Falcons. We're going to talk some Atlanta United as well. Don't go anywhere. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. 20 minutes away from the AMA. Midday show with Andy and Randy, Trillville Thursday, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Thanks for being with us. Final hour of the show brought to you by the Man Cave Store. Up your Man Cave game this season at mancavestore.com. Yeah, I think that's what's going to happen in the end. I think Georgia's going to host a playoff game when it's all said and done.
I mean, if everything goes where it's supposed to go.
How cool is that? Sanford Stadium playoff game?
I mean, freaking awesome. Like it'd been freaking awesome to go to Happy Valley or something like that. I mean, it's going to be
playoffs, period. It's going to be
cool and everything. And, you know, Georgia, when you say they control their own destiny, as long as they win, they'll be in the playoffs. You know, now they can't
right.
They can't blank around and mess around with Georgia Tech.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just messing around to be messing around.
Yes.
Because Georgia Tech's going to come bring it.
Yeah, Georgia Tech's tough.
They're going to come bring it.
That's going to be a tough football
game. They're going to come bring it. But yeah, they're going to be bull jiving around and that like that.
I forgot we were going to have this angle, too, with Smoke and Joe. Because obviously we spent a lot of time talking about Indiana and Ohio State.
Yeah.
Joe's a diehard Buckeye.
I'm still having questions about that.
What do you mean?
I don't know. I don't know where Joe's. I know he explained to us, you know, his Ohio State his
lineage.
Lineage. Still don't believe him.
Okay.
Yeah. Still don't believe him.
Well, let's ask him about it. Let's get him in here. He is a liar.
Yeah. In one corner, 92.9 The Game's midday host, Andy and Randy, at a combined 12.3 inches and just under 400 pounds. Add to the best of our knowledge. And in the other corner, 92.9 The Game's reporter Smokin' Joe Patrick at an undisclosed height and weight because he likes to cause trouble.
That's really the thing you want to say about the guy who you refer to as your Falcons insider.
Yeah, he really is a liar.
Falcons insider just lies. Makes stuff up repeatedly.
Because all I'm trying, because I remember, Joe, when Georgia and Ohio State played, and we were all meeting in bunk, we were all down.
What a great show that was.
Oh, we had that was a great show.
A lot of fun.
But the whole thing about it was you saw mine. You know what I'm saying? You saw my passion, my energy. You just saw Joe sitting over there like, I really want to get excited, but all these damn Georgia fans are around me, and Randy's right here. I don't want to get too excited.
That's exactly right. As an Ohio State fan, living in the Southeast, you learn to kind of walk, speak quietly and carry a big stick. You know, like I'll try to stay humble as much as I can. And Ohio State typically makes that easy on me when, you know, they lose in big games like they have been the last few years. We nailed that game, though, how that game was going to go down. That's what I'm most proud of from that game. I hate to say it.
It really is true. Not to do too much back padding 3 years later, but, like, we sat there and basically said the exact way how that football game was going to play out, and then it did. since we're on it, and we'll get to some other stuff. It's a bye week anyway. What do you think happens between Ohio State and Indiana on Saturday?
I mean, my initial instinct is to say that Ohio State kind of gets by, like they've been kind of getting by to me most of this year. Yeah. Like, I watch them every week, and they're never blowing me away. It's kind of funny. I ranted to a friend after the Northwestern game because, again, it was one of those ones where you just expect them to just put them away by 40 points in the first half, and it just doesn't happen.
Yeah.
And I found myself saying, I miss Urban Meyer. Know, Urban Meyer would put this team away by 60 points. This would be a 59-0 win. And, you know, for maybe, you know, when you're betting jelly beans and stuff, it helps to have a coach that you can rely on to do that. Mm-hmm. You know, say what you want about her, my great coach when he was at Ohio State.
Yeah,
that's really absolutely all I care about. So, but we'll see. You know, you never know how these things develop. But they were a frustrating team to watch. I think that Indiana just hasn't really been tested to the extent that they will get tested this weekend.
But is it the quarterback play? Is it just not, like, you know, not where it's been? Obviously, they're not as good as CJ. Nobody's as good as CJ Stroud. But I was curious about the quarterback play. And also, losing their starting center, JP. Like, where did that rank? Because, you know, they were out the left tackle for a while.
Still out.
And so you have those two major losses going into a game like this.
Yeah, and that's a huge question mark going into this one, which I kind of wasn't thinking about when you asked me that about Indiana. That will throw a wrench into things for sure, because the center is responsible for so much, like in terms of the protection, and things can totally break down when you don't really have that operation going between the center and the quarterback. So that's going to be a big loss. And I don't know. Like, I think part of it is the quarterback play. I think part of it is the play calling, which I did not expect to be talking about as like a negative at this point with Chip Kelly coming in. I thought that was – I was kind of happy because they were going to go after Bill O'Brien, who was kind of set to come in to be their OC, and then things change. He goes to BC, and Chip Kelly's like, oh, well, that's an upgrade. And to me, I just get frustrated at the way that the predictability of the play calls, the running on first, second down, and not using Will Howard as a runner enough. And maybe that's partially on Will Howard, on not kind of pulling the ball and taking it on some of the read option stuff. But, it's been frustrating to watch for me, is just how predictable they've been, especially offensively.
Yeah, I just, like, I know he's still, you know, he's a great offensive mind and all that, a legend in the game, but, like, a Chip Kelly offense hasn't been, like, anything to write home about in college football for a minute. Like, he's been, you're right. When he was at UCLA, they were okay a couple times, but nothing special. Like,
and it still feels like an offense from, like, the early 2010s instead of, like, a modern offense with a lot of motions and all that stuff.
Because that's what it is. Like, he revolutionized it back then, and then everyone's caught up and surpassed it. And I know, when they hired him, I was like, all right, like, I don't know that he's, like, the the visionary that people view him as, but he certainly was. Yeah. But anyway, all right, let's talk some Falcons here. Obviously, what happened on Sunday against Denver was really bad, certainly worse than even people that might have thought that they would struggle against Denver could have anticipated. When you know, a few days now to look back and think on it, who should shoulder the most blame for what happened on Sunday?
Oh, man. It's hard. It's so hard to pin that down on one person because, like, there's so much blame to go around. Like, not one person can take it all.
Pass it around, then. Pass the blame around.
From the coaching staff, it's like, you know, I always say, like, these coaches have forgotten more about football than I'll ever know. But it certainly was frustrating to watch a team playing defense in their own red zone or in the defensive red zone and still playing, like, off coverage, like 8 to 10 yards on the corners that's allowing some of these easy screen passes to be completed, to allow a rookie quarterback to dice you up like that, had 12 straight completions. Like, this team just gives up way too many completions in general. In fact, they allow 72% completion percentage to opposing quarterbacks, which is worse than the NFL. And what that does is there's not enough negative and zero yardage plays created by this defense. And that's why it feels like every offense is able to kind of drive the ball down the field on them, maintain time of possession. And then that puts pressure on the offense to then try to be perfect and do it themselves. And it always just feels, watching these games, especially lately, obviously, these last couple games, feels like the yardage is a lot easier to come by for the opposition than it is for the Falcons. It seems like things have to be absolutely perfect for the Falcons to pick up yards.
We were having that exact conversation yesterday.
Yes, we were.
Exact conversation.
Exact same conversation. Yeah.
Do you remember that throw that Kirk made to Bijan when he it was a great play. Bijan's like in motion, runs like a wheel kind of off that snap.
Yes.
Kirk drops in a bucket. That's like perfect play. Yes. I was happy to see it, but it's like, damn, that's what it takes to get 15 yards. Yeah. Like, you got to be that spot on. So you would like to see some of that easier offense. But I don't want to put all the blame on Zach Robinson. I do think that, you know, maybe defenses have caught up to what he's doing a little bit, and they've got to take some time to readjust. But, you know, I think my biggest issue with that game on Sunday was the defense and just the way that they were allowing that offense led by a rookie quarterback to go up and down the field on him.
Is there anything – What's the most optimistic thing that you're of? Is that word right? What are you most optimistic about, Joe?
Yeah, you got it.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, it's that you still have, like, a track record on your side in terms of, like, the Kirk Cousins and what he's done in his career, this offensive line and how good that a lot of these guys have been, the talent that's been on display. Offensively, I'm not super concerned. I think that they've run into some hard times, and this bye week comes at a good time for a guy like Zach Robinson to kind of look at the tendencies and things like that, and come out with some more wrinkles that will help them. Defensively, it's tough. I guess the optimism comes from the fact that there could potentially be some scheme changes. I mean, Raheem Morris spoke to media for the last week before they broke for the bye on Monday at a conference call I was on, and he talked about, you know, the need for scheme change. And I think he talked about, like, wasn't systemic, but he was talking about, like, these, like, big words about, you know, like really at the core of what they're doing and how they need to kind of reassess some of that. So I have to think that if they are able to reassess, it's going to be better than what they've been putting out there as of late. This defense, I do want to give them some credit in that, like, there have been games where, like, against the Saints, for example, terrible in that first half, giving up big plays to Marcus Valdes-Scantling and Taysom Hill and stuff. But, you know, in the second half, they were able to lock him down. They've done that in second half, you know, periodically throughout the year. And so maybe that's something that they can start to build on. But I got to say, the defense just seems like they're playing less than the sum of their parts. Like, this is actually a defense that has, you know, you still have Grady and AJ who were on that 2022 defense. That was a full rebuild style defense. But you've added players. You know, you've got veterans in Matthew Judon and Jesse Bates and Justin Simmons. And it feels like this defense is actually producing worse results than that 2022 defense, where that 2022 defense would still give up a lot of yards between the 20s, but then at least they would lock down in that red zone area, and they actually were pretty decent and denying touchdowns and just limiting the points that opposing offenses had. And, you know, this defense here is not doing that. So I don't know. You just hope that they can come put their heads together and come up with something during this bye week.
Yeah, because personnel is not
that for optimism?
Well, no, I'm with you. Like, I don't think thought the defense was going to be world beaters, but I thought that we optimistically viewed them certainly better than they have been. And I don't know, maybe some systemic realignment in the bye week, because the personnel's not changing, and Raheem made it very clear that the coaching staff is not changing. So maybe they just sort of shift their philosophy a little bit. I don't know how quickly you can do that in a week off, but hopefully they can. Let me ask you one United question, just because obviously the improbable run continues. Do you think that they can keep the dream alive on Sunday against Orlando?
I think they've got every chance to go down to Orlando and win, and they did it on decision day on the last game of the regular season, where they had to win. That was essentially a playoff game for them. They had to win and actually get the getting, obviously. And they went down there and did the job, and they didn't have really a full slate even. Like, they had a young academy player in Tyler Wolf in that starting lineup. I doubt he'll be starting for the team this Sunday. And at the time, Orlando was the hottest team in the league. I know a lot of the talk has been about Miami, and they obviously did have the best regular season in MLS history. But at the time, I mean, Orlando had won a bunch of games in their previous, like, dozen. They've been scoring like crazy. They've been scoring like 3 goals a game during that stretch, and Atlanta held them down and got the win. So I fully expect them to go down there with a lot of confidence. And I actually think that the one thing that could hurt them in that game is almost actually being overconfident because of that result and not kind of having that humble attitude that I think they brought towards Miami. But that's obviously something Dax and Brad and some of the other leaders on the team have been talking a lot about. So hopefully they can just maintain that idea that they're going to go down there and not totally dominate, and they might have to suffer it at times. But ultimately, if they just keep Orlando out of the net, they will find their own opportunities and they can capitalize on them.
Rob Valentino's not going to let them get overcome.
No, he's not.
He's going to have them ready. Yeah. They'll be in the right mindset for this one. Joe, thank you.
Appreciate it, JP.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Smoking Joe Patrick there, 92.9 The Game, Atlanta Falcons insider.
Okay.
Truth teller.
Just saw this.
Yeah.
And it's so funny. I try not to laugh. We had Joe on. Daniel Jones spent the opening portion of practice wearing a Red Scout team jersey lined up at safety.
Just like RG3.
Just like RG3.
You literally brought that up. Is that that's serious?
Yes.
Like, you literally brought that up 2 hours ago.
Yes. Yes.
Dang, man.
Yes.
Are they just trying to emasculate him publicly?
Like, basically.
What are they doing?
Just let him go home.
Just let him go home.
Just let him go home.
You owe him the money. Just give him the money. Let him go.
Let him go home.
Why? It's not his fault.
Let him go home.
That he's not. You guys paid him.
Yes. It's your fault.
Dang,
let
man.
That man go
Why
home.
Are they trying to embarrass this
let
guy?
Let him go.
Seems like a nice enough guy. Dang. All right. We'll come back and get to an AMA. Any question, any topic. Phone lines are open. 404-726-0929. Load them up. Ask us anything. We'll be right back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Open up your questions with the Middays AMA.
Ask me anything. Glad you asked. On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Brought to you by Right From The Heart, rightfromtheheart.org, the AMA to wrap the show up every single day. Today's no exception.
Oh, that's a funky catch on TV.
They're showing highlights.
Yeah.
This game.
Yeah.
There's a lot of highlights for the orange team.
Yeah, the Broncos?
Yeah, the Broncos. The Denver team. Bo Nix was the AFC offensive player of the league last week.
He
had a good game. I don't remember, but he had a really good game. All right. Phone lines are full. We'll start with Ham, who's in Hampton. Hey, Ham.
Hey, I'm from Hampton.
Hey, good afternoon, guys.
Hello.
Enjoying the show.
Thank you.
So, I got a question for each one of y'all. First question is for Andy. Right now, if you had to pick a defensive MVP for the Falcons, who would it be?
Okay.
And then the second question is for Randy.
Yeah.
Randy, you played a hell of a tight end in the league at the highest level. Please tell me, how is it that you can call a timeout and then come out of a timeout and still get a damn delay of game penalty?
Thank you, Ham.
Thanks, Ham.
Mine's easy. It's Jesse Bates.
No, without a doubt.
Jesse Bates, the defensive MVP of the Falcons.
And to your question, I have no clue. That is just horrible awareness.
Yep.
That is just horrible awareness. Horrible. And I thought the same damn thing, Ham.
Yep.
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 About the same thing.
Dion is in Covington. Hey, Dion.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on the show. I got a question. This morning, State compared it to Seinfeld, a name off the character. And I was thinking, if for the entertainment value of your guys' show, what sitcom would be closely in? Who would be which characters?
Interesting.
What?
What sitcom would I guess they were comparing themselves to characters on Seinfeld.
Okay.
On The Steakhouse.
I've never seen the episode of that, so.
So we won't go that one.
Yeah.
what would this show be? Like, what would be the most appropriate sitcom. That's a hard one.
What's
they need to make a sitcom like this.
Yeah, what's the do cartoons count as sitcoms?
Sure. We got
because we would be the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yeah, I mean, we are because okay. We all are each other. We all are one of them.
All right, who's who?
Well, I'm Raphael.
You're definitely Raphael.
Yes, I'm definitely Raphael.
Yeah. Okay,
Donnie, I'm Michelangelo, and I'm Leo.
There we go.
Party dude
likes pizza. Yeah,
I mean,
cracks jokes.
I don't know.
Always have to be the center of attention.
I don't know.
Oh, hey, what's that last one?
I don't know, man. I don't know. If we have a party dude. You know. Michelangelo.
I feel like Randy might be all four Ninja Turtles.
I think
on his own.
I'm not nothing about Donatello.
What's wrong with Donatello?
Nothing at all is wrong with Donatello.
It's just not you.
It's just not me. But I could be Leo.
Three of the four.
I'm definitely Raphael.
Yeah, no, you are 100%
yes.
Raphael.
Yes.
Plus he wears red, so you got the Georgia.
Yes.
You're good.
Yes.
Donatello wears purple, so
yes, definitely.
He's real, you know, cerebral.
He's innovative.
He does machines. He did the inventions. I like that. I like that answer. Again, that sitcom, though, I don't know.
Who had the one brother? Did Magna P.I. have the one brother?
I mean,
I don't know. Go on, Abe.
The shoe salesman in Married with Children.
No, he was cool as hell, man.
He was.
I know, but
but you're Al Bundy more than me.
But I'm more Al Bundy than anybody.
Yeah.
Okay.
Again, they need to have one like this, is all I'm saying. Like, if we don't have a... Maybe we should just be one. You know, write us into one.
How many sitcoms actually had four dudes in them?
I don't know.
Like, even Friends, I think, only had
three. We're three? Definitely not that
yeah,
show.
Yeah, definitely three.
Because our show's funny.
Definitely. Yeah. Definitely not.
All right. Brad's in Woodstock. Hey, Brad.
Hey, guys. I appreciate you having me. First of all, I want to give a shout-out Etowah Eagles, K-2 football team, won the county championship last week.
Hell yeah.
What is the most cringeworthy thing a college team or NFL team can do? I'll give you mine. Okay. Texas A&M Giggins thing. Not sure what's going on there.
Okay.
What is that?
Cringeworthy thing that an NFL or college football team does. He thinks Giggum.
Oh, yeah. That's weird.
It's weird.
It's very, very weird.
A lot of stuff they do at Texas A&M.
Very, very weird. The Giggum, yes. Giggum, ugh. Yeah, Auburn and the War Eagle.
Cringy?
Yeah, to me. I mean, no, I think it's the coolest thing ever.
Oh.
But where do you get War Eagle, but you're the Tigers?
I don't know.
Yeah, that and the Stanford Tree will always be that. The Stanford Tree.
Fair enough.
The Stanford Tree. I love the War Eagle thing. It's cool and all that, but and I know how it became. But
it's still
weird.
Did they explain it in the SEC documentary?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, no, it is. It's like Tigers and Eagles. Okay.
Yeah, it's very cringy.
How do you roll? What's roll tie? What are we doing?
Somebody explained that to us too, okay. And I can't remember. Somebody explained it to us.
Okay.
We
I got to look into this.
Yeah, look into it.
So then I can.
It's right
know.
There.
All right. I think everything Oregon does is cringeworthy. In general existence.
Of course.
All the stuff they do.
I'll be honest. Their duck has gotten very cringy.
Yeah, it's too much.
He's doing some weird things this year.
He's getting ripped. Thank you. He like his popularity is so high right now that he just does dumbest.
Yeah, get him out of here.
Yep.
Get him out of here. All right. Pete is in Atlanta. Hey, Pete.
Hey, Andy. Your top three go-to eating drinking spots in the Smyrna.
Oh, all right, Pete. Number one, it's my porch.
Yep.
That's where we do most of our eating and drinking these days. There's a place called Muss and Turner's that does really good food, and then they also have a little bar in the back called Eleanor's, which is a good spot. We've been eating lately. There is a Italian restaurant called Mezza, I think it's called. I never know what it's called, but it's at Smyrna Market Village, and they do Kids Eat Free on Tuesday nights.
Oh, yeah.
It's a pretty good spot. Plus, they have pretty good pizza and stuff.
What's it called?
I think it's called Mezza.
Oh, okay.
I think. But it's the Italian place in Smyrna Market Village. So
okay.
If you go there, it's the one Italian place
okay.
right up front next to the fountain that they have. And then...
Well, Atkins Park. Y'all go to Atkins Park all the time?
Atkins Park's great.
Yeah.
Atkins Park's really cool. That's right there.
Seafood type place.
That's right there at Smyrna Market Village, too. And then Varner's. Varner's is a great,
too, yeah.
great spot. And then what's the one that Tara likes a lot that's up on Windy Hill? Creekwood Tavern.
Creekwood Tavern's
a good place to watch a game and have some drinks.
There
too.
We go.
Yeah. So but mainly my porch. That's mainly where we're at these days. Robbie is in Atlanta. Hey, Robbie.
It's Tubobby.
Oh, hey, Tubobby.
And
Hey, man.
My question is.
Hey, man, you a friend of the show. Don't be calling in with no attitude. This tough, Bobby. You're afraid of the program. What you got, T? Bobby.
All right. So everybody knows that Welcome to Atlanta is the unofficial anthem of Atlanta. But personally, I don't feel that it fits. I think Atlanta's more of a knuck if you buck or I ain't going to lit up city. Okay, what would be your anthem for Atlanta?
Southern Playlistic by Outkast.
No plans you gave Pastor Troy.
Great answer.
Definitely.
So Bobby's saying that he doesn't really think that Welcome to Atlanta is like a great anthem. How do you feel about that song?
I love that song.
Yeah.
And I love the original version because the original version, if you did everything that Jermaine Dupri said, you had a great freaking
week. He did describe a good week.
And we've all done it.
Wow.
And that's what I'm saying. I can't say we all did.
Not all.
But if you've been privileged enough to be able to do those things that he did before he remixed and everything, mm-hmm. Strokers, I don't go no more before they. No. Easy. You can find me up. Like, that week that he described was just.
By the time I moved
here. It was magical.
By the time I moved
here. It was magical.
I literally bought my produce at 112.
Yes.
It was a Kroger.
Yes.
We lived right next to
it. Yes.
And then I found that out later.
Yes.
And I was like, oh, really?
That, whatever he did. When Jermaine Dupri described in the original version of that song, it's unreal.
It's a great beat.
Oh, God.
We have time for one more.
What a time to be alive.
No.
What a time to be alive.
And you were. And not only were you, but you lived.
I had money.
You were living.
Yes. I had a little money there, too.
Sure. You were just out there living. All right, let's get to takeaways of the day.
As our show heads into the final stretch, it's time for the takeaway of the day.
So many achievements.
On Andy and Randy, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Takeaways of the day.
Joe said something, said when you're betting jelly beans, which I have no damn clue.
I think he was doing that weird thing people do sometimes where they pretend they don't gamble. Like he was saying, I don't know.
I have no clue. And
we all gamble now, all right? We can talk about it.
I have no clue. And Andy was in his 30s when... Andy was in his 30s when Notre Dame had the worst loss of the season.
I did. So long ago. No one can remember that it was to Northern Illinois.
Yes.
It was not good. Adam Schefter, love guy. Big love guy.
This week's life advice from the Midday Show with Andy and Randy.
Get your ass home.
Yeah, man. When she texted that, have fun.
It's always a good
after you'd have left. Yeah, dog. Go home.
Schefter celebrated his first time ever, apparently, by breaking football news.
Yeah. Hey, love. Hey, love, I got to work real quick.
He was an NFL insider before he was...
Yes. Yes. Insider. Before he was an insider.
All right. We'll come back and see what Dukes and Bell have for you next on Sports.